This is Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Well, Phil, hey, tell me you went to the footy over the weekend.
Rick, before we even start, I've got to wish you a very happy birthday here on Tuesday the 12th of June. 72, I believe, which you're very young, 72.
Thank you very much, Phil.
And you've made the paper.
I've made the paper?
You made the advertiser
did
today.
Did I really?
You did. You know you did. Oh. And what column was it?
It was just a small column.
No, you know, it's a bit of a treat, I think. You just tell me quickly.
No, I'm modest. It was a surprise. To be honest, I didn't even know that I'd made the column.
No,
Marty Smith's column on what happened in yesteryear.
Yep.
And it wasn't until a good friend of mine from the golf club rang me up and said, happy birthday. And I sent a message back to him saying, well, how'd you know it was my birthday? And he'd read it in the paper and hadn't even seen it myself.
Unbelievable. I didn't realise you were such a megastar. So obviously our show's getting out there and people are starting to hear about it.
Well, it must be. Well, we'll take that.
Probably isn't that anyhow. Yes, I went to the footy, Rick. We'll get back onto that. Saw a cracker game Friday night, Richmond and Port. I thought Port's first half was sensational and their second half was tough, and it was a tough, gritty game in the second half. Only about three or four goals kicked in that second half.
Well, I totally agree with you, and I think the very pleasing thing, and I guess our listeners know that we're both Port men, but, I mean, I honestly reckon for the last two or three years at least, Port have never been able to put a whole game of football together. They'll play one or two sensational quarters or not turn up for a half. And not only, I think you described their effort perfectly. That was the first four-quarter effort I've seen. Sure, they got away in the first half and played brilliantly, but the great thing was that they didn't fold. And Richmond, well, let's face it, they're the reigning premiers, and they didn't fold, and that is, I think, a really good sign. I just hope that they can do it 2 weeks in a row.
Well, Ollie Wines back to his sensational best, and will sign. No doubt about it, will sign with Port.
Yes, I think, I'm not sure that whether you heard it or not, but his mother was asked, where do you think Ollie should be next year? And she was very diplomatic, but very heartening for Port supporters. She said words to the effect of, well, I'll be happy wherever Ollie's happy, and he's happy where he is now. So yeah. I think that's basically signing it for him, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. He apparently, there's no doubt that he will be there next year and forever, for whenever.
Yes, and I think it was really pleasing that... And I think both Charlie Dixon and Wingard had justifiably been criticised for less than great performances recently. And boy, oh boy, I just wish they got criticised every week after that response, because both of them were fantastic. And the difference is they were playing a quality side. You know, they didn't go missing.
Well, he was on Rance. Rance was on him virtually all night, and he took Rance apart. Mm. Yeah.
And Wingard was just so creative. And as I was saying, that the great thing is that under pressure they performed, not disappeared.
And Wingard played a lot more midfield,
which was,
I think that's where he should be. We've got Robbie as a small forward come into the midfield, but Robbie is certainly a better little forward than Chad is, and Chad's better off in the guts where he can.
And I think he got more. He's going to, as a midfielder, see more of the ball. But I really will give credit to the coaches, because anyone who's out of form, the first thing you've got to do to get back into form is find the ball, and it's a lot easier to find the ball in the midfield than it is sitting on a half forward flank.
Yep.
Like some half forwards do.
Yeah.
Sitting out on the boundary wanting the ball to come to them.
That's what I used to do in my heyday. You hit the nail on the head there.
Yeah. I have heard that you didn't ever want to sort of get body on body too much.
I've got to mention Darcy Byrne-Jones. He was just sensational back there. And I thought Pittard was very good for his first comeback game for several weeks, playing in the Maggies the last few. I thought he was very, very solid back there. And our whole defence, Houston and Cleary, were the same.
Yes.
Very, very good back there.
Yep. The other bloke who I was pleased with, because he, as a 20-year-old, you go through the hiccups that life hands out to you. But Powell Pepper was back to his absolute best.
Tough as nails. Yeah, yeah. And I should, Dougal Howard was another one. He was, his punching, you know, that spoiling, he was just really good.
Yep. The only thing I'm going to reserve judgment on is that I want them to do it again this week against absolutely. The boys.
And we will be able to see it, Rick, because you are coming with me as a guest of mine, and we're going to go and sit there on Thursday night.
That is very nice of you, Phil.
I'll buy you tea before.
Oh, Phil, you've heard it all, folks.
While we're on the AFL, I just reckon a dark horse this year, and they're getting under the radar, is the Swans.
The Swannies?
Yes. Not much said about them.
Well, nothing's ever
said. Going along winning.
Yeah, yeah. I think the amazing thing is that I honestly believe that not much is ever said about them because they're so successful all the time. I mean, they never miss out on getting in the eight.
Big test this week, though.
A huge
West
test.
West Coast.
Well, I mean, I think from the discussions we've had, you're going to go for the Swannies.
I am leaning towards the Swans.
I'm going to go for West Coast. Yeah. But it'll be a great game.
Absolutely.
Great
game.
It'll
be a cracker game.
It will be. Now, listen, what do you think of the umpiring?
On Friday night? You know what? Razor was the third best umpire there.
What? The third best umpire there?
You've got There's only joking. Three of them. But no, look, he wasn't the worst. The other two clowns, honestly, they were ordinary, and he wasn't much better. But, you heard someone yell.
I reckon this is one of the great classics of all time. This is the joke today, folks. This is it. I heard somebody call out, "Hey, Chamberlain, do you know the rest of the puppets know where you are?"
Yeah, it was a bit that way. Look, I shouldn't criticise because I've done it for 20-odd years, but they have got a different set of rules for different weeks. And there's no doubt about it. They must have a meeting and say, right, we're going to be hot on this, or we're going to let holding the ball go, because they let every holding the ball go the other night.
Well, I'm amazed for a 600-game experience. I didn't realise that you didn't know what they do. All they do, it's a bit like, you know, they just open the rule book and it's page 93 one week and page 64 the next, and they decide that's the rule for the day.
I don't doubt that. Because honestly, that holding the ball or incorrect disposal, that went out the window. Right. And the deliberate rule went out the window, which I don't mind, because I reckon that was a fast, that deliberate rule. But there was a couple that were definitely deliberate. They would not pay him. Yeah. They did not pay him the other night. It was one for Port, one for, Richmond. It was one either way. So
but the
I'm
rules,
not just having
the
a
rules
go at,
and the interpretation
of it. It was just unbelievable. Yeah. Okay, well, was Tex ready to play? Last thing on the AFL?
Oh, well,
I don't think so, was he?
Well, it didn't work if he was ready to play.
He struggled.
He struggled very badly. And I really think it was, I'm not knocking the Crows. I'm trying to look at this as an unbiased sporting person. They're in strife. I mean, everyone has injuries. They've certainly got their fair share, but they just don't look like it. They had to win that game to restore confidence in themselves, let alone their supporters. And, you know, they got within 3 points because in junk time they kicked a couple of goals after the game was all over.
Yep.
And, I mean, to be honest, they didn't really look like winning the game.
No, I agree with you.
So they're in strife, I reckon.
They are. I don't think they'll make the eight. I think they'll, because they got Hawthorn this week, and they won't beat Hawthorn in Melbourne.
Well, I can't believe they will. I mean, that is their, I mean, like, the only way they're going to turn it around is if they do beat Hawthorn. Mm.
Exactly right.
Yeah,
so they could be back. Okay, let's have a quick look at the local footy. Couple of good games this week, Rick.
There are.
Tanunda and Newry at Tanunda.
Well,
George Heath Cup.
It is. And, you know, everything says that Tanunda's going to win it as far as I'm concerned. But I was very impressed with
Newry
in the last game.
Yep.
And if there's, you know, they've got players back, vintage is over, et cetera, et cetera. I tell you what, the coach, Slattery, has made a big difference. He's a creative
Tipping
player.
An upset?
No.
Me neither. I'll be there. I'm going to go and have a look at that. I haven't seen Tanunda play.
If out of the four games is going to be an upset, though, that will be
So
it.
We're both going Tanunda.
Yep.
We got Angaston and Williston at Angaston. I think you're covering that game,
Rick. I am indeed. And although Williston are having a run of outs, and after the way they started, it's a bit surprising. But it would be even more surprising if Ango got up. Yep, I'm going Williston
as well. Yep, I agree. Sad Angaston, but doesn't make any difference. Central versus Kapunda at the dog track.
Well, you know, that's an interesting game. I'm going for Kapunda.
Me too.
Yep.
And last one, South Barossa at South.
You're asking whether it's 100 or 150 points.
I think it'll be closer to 100 because South have slightly improved the last... they had a good win at last outing.
They have, but it's...
Barossa.
You know, I mean, the only thing, Rick.
There's something wrong there.
There is, obviously. We'd better change them. The only thing I'd say about... it might be a bit closer than I've nominated with South and Barossa because I reckon you'll find that Barossa are rotating and resting a few of their big
names. And it could be wet.
And it could be
Could be wet. So we'll wait and see on that, won't we? But they will win.
Four are the same.
Okay. That's all on their local
now,
footy.
Now, your other... total, you know, area of expertise is tennis.
Is it what?
And tell me about it, the French Open. Come on.
Oh, the French Open. Yeah, well, Nadal, 11th. He's 11th, 32-year-old he is, and he's won his 11th. He's absolutely magnificent on that.
Well, you can basically say he's unbeatable on clay, can't you? I mean, I guess the only thing, and what, he's not that many away from Federer now.
No, he's catching him, but that's not on a priority of his, he's stating.
Yeah, so, I saw that. I mean, the only thing that I think, and I'm not the tennis expert, you are, the only thing that, and it won't detract if he does get over the top of Federer's number, but the fact that 11 of his... have been on clay. He is, obviously he's won others, but his specialty.
Yep.
Whereas,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Federer.
Yes.
More Nike. 25 what? Years of Nike. He has gone to, and I can't even tell you what the manufacturer is, but he's gone to them, $30 million a year for 10 years.
Don't be sick. $30 million a year
for 10 years. But the man's 37 now. Is he going to play till he's 47? But he's obviously going to be still caught up with tennis, so he'll wear their gear. I guess that's the way I look at it.
He's probably going to go on the sort of seniors tour once he quits, or he'll play doubles and stuff like that.
But I couldn't believe that. $30 million a year.
Gee, I tell you what,
for 10 years.
Yeah, whoever's sponsoring him, they'll be hoping they sell a few shirts, won't they?
Wow.
Let's put it this way. You've got to... sell a fair few to even get your $30 million back.
How would they?
Well,
how would they possibly do it?
I think what happens is that, of course, the shirt's really only worth $10, but they sell them for $70 to cover, you know, per shirt, the cost of advertising.
That is ridiculous. I don't picture him as that, and I know he's not that sort of person because I know the Carter family very well, and he's a very generous man, Roger. And... but $30 million, wowee.
I mean, it really, in today's world, that's a hideous figure, isn't it?
That is unbelievable. Yeah. Look, just getting off of tennis, we'll quickly just touch on the cricket. Heard today,
what
Davey Warner signed with Channel 9 to cover the cricket.
Well,
What's your thoughts?
That's the first I've heard of it. That is, look, I'm shocked and saddened for one reason and one reason only. That is the message that it sends to the kids. You know, it was a bad enough message, which is what Cricket Australia and the Australian sporting public really argued on over the cheating and the swearing and the bullying. And now the very fact that a major sporting channel is prepared to pay him, and I would think it would be plenty, to become a commentator... if that's not sending the wrong message, saying, well, it's a slap on the hand now, we'll have you back.
Yeah.
I don't know what is.
But we'll have you back and you can commentate on the cricket.
That's very sad. It's sad for the messages. That's above all. I couldn't give a toss, really, whether he's there or not. But I am concerned about what messages get to the kids. It was like in early days of tennis when... you know, McEnroe and all those cowboys started throwing rackets and swearing and
umpiring. Well, we still got that going on, haven't we? Bernie Tomic and Kyrgios.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Two good Australian boys.
That's very true.
But look, yeah, I agree with you, Rick. I mean, we touched on it last week. They played a couple one days, Canada, and a couple invitational games. Shouldn't be.
And they're in the Northern
Territory.
Here we go.
Now he's going to commentate. Yeah.
And, you know, the story, if you're banned, you're banned. But it doesn't mean that, obviously, for Cricket Australia. But there you go. You can't do much about it. I guess we're running out of time, but I want to go back to the footy for a minute. I was staggered up until I was staggered up until last week. I think we even made mention of it, how the Victorian commentators and press were writing up Melbourne that they'd already won the grand final. Well, it took it took half a game during the Queen's birthday.
I heard it myself.
Now Collingwood are the premiers.
Oh no, that's even worse.
But talk about May or June premiers.
Oh.
I mean, and how quickly did they switch? Melbourne.
Westboro or Melbourne gone
well,
now?
I'm worried about what happened to the cup, because I thought they'd engraved Melbourne's name on it already. And now, can you wipe off engraving and put another name on there or not? Absolutely amazing.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I agree. I heard that too, and I thought, wow, we've jumped off the bandwagon there.
And good old BT, Brian Taylor, he was the best of it. He really was.
Oh, well, he loves Collingwood, the old Collingwood boy, isn't
That's
he?
That's right.
He ended up at Collingwood.
Half a game it took for Melbourne to lose their grand final.
Let's hope it takes that long for Collingwood to lose it.
I just couldn't believe that.
Well, Rick, I don't know we've got anything else to say, have we? So we might...
Well, I think we've covered it. It's been pretty interesting.
I'm
going
to take you out to tea now for your birthday.
Oh, Phil, yeah, that's good. Okay, well, that means I can order up big, doesn't it?
Not too big.
All right, until next time, this is Rick.
This is Phil.